So recently, I posted a defense of psychologist John Carroll's claim that what separated stronger and weaker students wasn't a fundamental difference in learning potential, but a difference in learning rate. Some people learn faster and others more slowly, but provided the right environment, anyone can learn anything. Now, in arguing that, I primarily wanted to argue against the common belief that talent sets hard limits on the skill and knowledge you can eventually develop. Not everyone could become a doctor, physicist, or artist, the reasoning goes, as some people will just hit a wall on how much they can learn. However, in arguing that the primary difference between students was learning rate, I might have also committed an error. A recent paper I encountered suggests that the rate of learning among students doesn't actually differ all that much. Instead, what differs mostly between students is their prior knowledge, an astonishing regularity. The paper, An Astonishing Regularity in Student Learning Rates, was authored by Kenneth Codinger and colleagues. Together, they observed over 6,000 students engaged in 12 different online courses in math, science, and language learning, ranging from elementary students to college students. By delivering the material through online courses, the authors could carefully track which lessons, quizzes, and tests the students actually took. The authors then decomposed what the students were learning into knowledge components and created a model that broke down the various factors that were responsible for learning them. The model breaks down what students learn into prior knowledge, which is inferred from performance on test items before instruction begins, and a measure of new learning. So the actual details in the model are a little technical, so if you're interested, I suggest reading the full paper. Immediately, the authors observe that students enter classes with substantial differences in prior knowledge. The average pre-instruction performance was 65%, with more poorly performing students at 55% and better performing students at 75%. This difference in prior knowledge translated to different volumes of practice needed to achieve mastery, which the authors set at an 80% probability of success. Stronger students needed only 3.66 opportunities to master a given knowledge component, whereas weaker students required over 13 opportunities, a dramatic difference. However, the rate of learning between stronger and weaker students was surprisingly uniform. Both groups improved at roughly the same rate, achieving roughly 2.5% increase in accuracy per learning opportunity. It was simply that the better students started off with more knowledge, so they didn't have as far to go to reach mastery. The authors did find a slight divergence in learning rates, but this was dwarfed by the prior knowledge impact. According to their model, students required an average of 7 practice exposures per knowledge element to achieve mastery. Equalizing the level of prior knowledge, the slow learners required only an additional extra practice opportunity to equal the rate of the fast learners. If all learners are equally fast, why do some have so much more knowledge? Now, this result surprised me, but it wasn't the first time I'd encountered this claim. Graham Nuttall made a similar observation in his extensive research of New Zealand classrooms, finding that students required roughly 5 opportunities to learn a given piece of knowledge, and the rate didn't vary much between students, although the prior knowledge that they had did. Still, it raises an obvious question. If learning rates are equal, why do some students enter classes with so much more prior knowledge? So here's some possibilities. First, the students might have backgrounds outside of school that expose them to greater knowledge. One of the famous results of early vocabulary learning is that children from affluent backgrounds are exposed to far more words than those from lower socioeconomic backgrounds. Second, some students might be more diligent, curious, or attentive. The authors note that their learning model fits the data much better when you count learning opportunities, not the calendar time that elapses. Thus, if a student gets far more learning opportunities within the same class, by paying attention to lectures, doing more homework, etc., than a classmate, then both will have dramatically different overall learning rates, even if the learning rate per opportunity is pretty uniform. Finally, perhaps learning rate is uniform only in high-quality learning environments. A common finding throughout educational research is that lower aptitude students benefit more from greater guidance, explicit instruction, and support. It might be the case that learning rates diverge for less learner-friendly environments where the information isn't broken down as much as those studied by Codinger. Another possibility is that small learning differences in rates tend to amplify over time. So those who learn faster or are given more favorable early learning environments might seek out more learning and practice opportunities, resulting in bigger differences in eventual knowledge accumulated. In reading research, Keith Stanovich was one of the first to propose this Matthew effect for reading ability. Those with a little bit of extra ability in reading find it easier and more enjoyable to read, they get more practice, and then further entrench their reading ability advantage. Still, a countervailing piece of evidence to this view is the fact that the heritability of academic ability tends to increase as we get older. teenagers' genes are more predictive of their intelligence than it is for younger children. That kind of pattern doesn't really make sense if we believe that large gaps in academic ability are simply positive feedback loops. That would suggest that those who, through random factors, were above their predicted potential, they continue to entrench their advantage rather than regress back to the mean. So, those remaining questions aside, I found Coedinger's paper fascinating, not only for providing a provocative hypothesis regarding learning, but for the effort to systematically model the knowledge components involved, thus potentially offering a finer-grained analysis than many experiments, which only require a few gross tests. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you'd like to get 5 of my audiobooks for free, just go to scotthyoung.com/podcast.